Okay, a quick rider before I do this is I did prepare this over a week ago, so I'm just trying to. I've gone through it over yesterday, but it was an interesting process trying to prepare for a sermon I wasn't going to do until after the holidays. I thought I must do that, so I think it'll come together. I'm sure it will. But well, we're kind of coming to the end of our journey through Romans this summer. We've talked about, or I've talked about, walking in the new shoes of new life. And the rope of rescue that God offers us through Jesus. We looked at how Paul explained about the Spirit, that it leads us into life and peace, that it's the key to our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. We have that wonderful passage with the lines that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, and a call to trust and accept the gift of God's being part of God's family. And then I haven't heard all of Marcus's sermon last week, but it will go on the website at some point. I gather he was again bringing out the importance of committing to following God. And what have we got today? Well, it seems like Paul is kind of rattling off a whole set of instructions through this, and some commentators kind of can't see how they're all connected. But I'm going to begin from the end, and then we'll kind of dip into the middle and the beginning and kind of end in the middle somewhere. As Paul says right at the end of our passage today, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And as I thought about that phrase, it reminded me of growing up, that time when you've served a meal which you're not particularly keen on, not your most favourite food. And so you see there's a pot of gravy in the middle of the table and you think, this is how I can overcome the evil of this food, with the good of the gravy. And just like, has anyone done that before? Apparently, actually, I was known as a child for not gravy, but ketchup. I would cover it in ketchup, and that would kind of cover over the flavours that I really didn't want to taste. So that was the first thing that came to my mind. But the second thing, actually, was in talking with my neighbour. He was talking about the problem of a patch of bad soil, of unfertile soil, and how can you make it fertile again. He lives at a property just near me, and he was saying when he moved in about 30 years ago, his property was just claggy clay soil, which was no good for growing. And so gradually over the 30 years, he's been digging in organic compost, and he said he puts all these sort of paper shreddings in there as well and digs it all in. I'm sure the gardeners here will know all about that. And he digs it all in, and he said now he's got this wonderful loam that is fertile and will grow things. And I thought, yeah, that's about overcoming evil with good. It's a wonderful picture of how it takes time, and eventually we can get there. The other thing I've thought of, I don't know if we've got anybody here that's seen the Star Wars movies, any of the Star Wars films, anyone familiar with? Well, for those that aren't, it's a bit complicated, but they're basically, the first three movies were made in the 70s and 80s, and they followed a character called Luke Skywalker, and his kind of journey through life, as it were. And then in the, I can't remember when it was, in about the 2000s or the late 90s, they made another set of three films, which chronologically came before the first three, but they were made after, are you with me? And they were about this character called Anakin Skywalker, and they followed his journey. Now, Anakin faced good and evil in his life, and what the story kind of told was how effectively he was overcome by evil. He didn't manage to fulfil what Paul is calling us to do. He was overcome by evil, and at the end of those three movies, he's thoroughly evil. Through and through. He's had good parts in his life as well, and he could have chosen the good, but he chose the evil and just got overcome with evil. And then the other three movies about Luke. Well, Luke again faces good and evil in his life through these three movies, in all the adventures that he has. And there's a point where he has to choose whether to be consumed by evil, by anger and frustration, just as Anakin did, or whether he chooses to hold to the good. And he chooses the good. And he overcomes evil with good. I think he epitomises what Paul is calling us to do. But more than that, what happens is he meets this other evil character, who's, I won't spoil it for those that haven't seen it, but he meets this other evil character, and through the good that Luke does, this other character kind of gets a sense of the good and begins to turn good. It's a bit late for him, but he does. And there's a sense in which Luke overcomes the evil in someone else because of the good that he does. I guess what it all boils down to really is Paul's Paul's phrase, bless those who persecute you, which was epitomised in Jesus on the cross, the message of the cross, the message of Jesus really, is that good can overcome evil, and that he overcame evil with the good that he did. And Peter doesn't really get it in our gospel passage until he kind of sees, he still doesn't get it really, does he, until the end, and Jesus rises again, that good can overcome evil, that love can overcome evil. Love, as Jesus demonstrates it, as self-sacrifice. And Paul talks about love as well. In our translation we had, he talks about sincere love. Let love be genuine, I've got in my Bible here. And the Greek actually says, let love be a hypocritous, not hypocritical love, but true love, genuine love, sincere love. And that's what Paul is calling his readers, the readers in Rome, to. A love that, as Paul says, is for those that are mourning as well as those that are rejoicing. Actually, I wonder how easy it is. It's often easier to love those who are struggling and to mourn with them. Sometimes, perhaps it's just me, but when I'm called to kind of rejoice with those rejoicing, a little bit of me thinks, oh, I wish that was me that was rejoicing, that I was successful in something. But Paul calls us to do both, to mourn with the mourners and to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. And he says to leave room for God's wrath. That can sometimes be tricky, can't it? We want to make sure that justice is done. But Paul calls us to leave room for God's wrath, just as Christ did. So how do we overcome evil with good practically? Well, this is where I want to land, somewhere in the middle of our reading. Verse 12, Romans 12, verse 12, a wonderful verse, which says this: be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I just want to spend the rest of our time looking at that verse. In a way, being joyful in hope and being patient in affliction, we could kind of, the psychologist would say that's good psychology, to kind of be patient and to lift our hearts in hope. It's that the final phrase of those three that I think is key, to be faithful in prayer. Prayer is crucial, giving to God our worries, our struggles, giving him anything that we sense that evil might seek to overcome us. Perhaps it's anger or laziness or busyness or lust or greed or envy. Whatever affects us most. It'll be different at different times for each one of us. We need, as Paul says, to fill our minds with good things. Just as that soil needs improving, needs digging in good things, we need to do the same in our lives. As I was preparing for this, I went to our Wednesday morning prayer meeting, and Liz brought a short passage from James, and said that it had been on her heart, and actually it sort of resonated with me as I was preparing. It was from the Message version, which is worth dipping into every now and then. Eugene Peterson's kind of paraphrase in kind of modern language, and this is what he says in James chapter 1. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So he says, throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. We'd probably say the dustbin, wouldn't we? But anyway. In humility, he says, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. And I love that picture of God as the gardener. We get that through scripture, don't we? God as the gardener trimming the tree helping things to grow. And Eugene Peterson has put it in that way, that God, we can allow God to landscape us with the word. So that's what I think we're called to do from this passage. So let him feed our souls with what we need through our prayer and our relationship with him, whilst we stay faithful in prayer and overcome evil with good. And prayer can come in so many different ways. We can pray quietly, we can pray silently, and there's real value in that. But sometimes it's good to either speak out or write down prayers, to really show commitment to our prayers. And I guess some of us probably write prayer journals, and perhaps write in those every now and then. I'm absolutely rubbish at that. I just, to be honest, I've tried to keep a prayer journal over many years, but I struggle. I now bring it down here when I come and pray in the morning prayer, and I try and write some things. I'm getting better, trying to work on that. Somebody will use the prayer directory and use that to pray through different people, and I find that really helpful to pray around the congregation, around those that are linked. I actually use the Upton and Lichminster prayer directory as well, so I've got two, and actually I've got three, because there's a prayer directory for the whole of the diocese, so it goes around the different parishes, so I'm praying for different people in parishes I've never heard of, but sometimes they put a little prayer as well, something to ask for them. So that can be really helpful. And as I was thinking about this, I noticed on my shelf, now I've got a voice, that I've got some spare bits of paper from our last all-age service that we had in August. Some of you might have been here. When for the all-age service, I love it to give people opportunity to pray, to write down their prayers. Well, I've done rather too many, so there were quite a lot spare. I thought, what can I do with those? I don't want to recycle them. And then, as I was thinking about this, I realised that there's a number of people who come into the church who don't join us for worship and don't join us for prayer, who perhaps would like an opportunity to share a prayer or to leave a prayer. Whenever we've had the prayer tree out, or as I say, those prayers that we prayed in the all-age service, it's wonderful. I find it wonderful to come down on a Monday morning then and find all these prayers that people have written, and to just pray through those and spend a bit of time with others, you know, sharing in others' prayers. So I thought it would be nice to have a prayer box in church. I haven't quite worked out where on earth it's going to go yet, and obviously with all the furniture moving around, it might move around, but you know, here's one I made earlier, as it was back in the school teacher days. It's always nice to create something, so I'm going to look after it and do use it. So there's prayer sheets on the top. I'll put on it that verse from Romans 12: be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What I'll say is encourage those who, I know we have a number of people who come and do, you know, ring the bells, and they feel part of our church, but perhaps don't then join us in worship, but perhaps they can be encouraged if they want to share a prayer. Those who come in and do the flowers, I know some of them who don't worship with us. But also, as I said to Annie at the 8 o'clock service this morning, we're really hoping that we can get the church open more often. And then this will be an opportunity for those people who come in and visit on the off chance, have a chance to leave a prayer here in the box. And I've put on here that what I'll do is open the box up every now and then during morning prayer and pray through those prayers. Does that make some sense? As I say, I'm not quite sure. If anyone's got a suggestion where it could go, then I'm open to ideas. But I thought it would be really good to have an opportunity for people to be able to share those prayers and write them down and leave them in this place and leave them in God's hands. So I'll put it over there for now. So that's really where I wanted to land, for us to be faithful in prayer and to encourage one another in prayer. I do encourage you, if you're around, there's a bit more room in your lounge, listen there for prayer on a Wednesday morning. I'm not sure, it's getting a bit full, isn't it? It's getting a bit packed out. We can get, there we go, get a few more chairs in. So everybody's free on 9:30 on a Wednesday morning. The more the merrier as we pray there. But obviously in your own prayer lives as well. So let's pray now as we get to close. Lord, we think on those words: to be joyful in hope, to be patient in affliction, and to be faithful in prayer. And we pray that they would underpin all that we do as a community in this place, as a community that's linked in with this church, as a community that's part of the wider village community. Help us to be joyful, to be patient, and above all to be faithful and to persevere with our prayers as we connect with you and seek to listen to you. That passage in James reminds us that you are the gardener, and as we allow you to nourish us, Lord, we pray that you would that nourishment would overspill to others. And Lord, that passage also talks about listening, about being first of all listeners and hearers. And so, Lord, we pray that we could, as we pray, have our ears open to all that you want to tell us and to all that we hear from others around us. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.